Howdy, folks. This is Jimmy Akin of the Jimmy Akin Podcast, and you're being fortified with your regular dose of Catholic vitamins. But wait, there's more.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith. Forget what lies behind and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi, Dee.
Hi, Tom.
Here we are in the podcast. Oh, this isn't the palace. We're looking
up. This is the podcast palace number two.
That's right. How many of these podcasters have two places? Here we are looking out on a beautiful, beautiful sunny day. It may be a little bit cool outside, but it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. And God has blessed us with sunshine. And we're looking out the window at the front of our property. And I don't see any sign of life out there, so it's a very pastoral, peaceful day.
No wildlife out there at the moment.
Dear friends, where we live, oh, we haven't even talked about our show yet. What show is this? Here we go in a prattle again.
This is Catholic Vitamin X for extra 9, meaning number 9.
Okay.
Meaning we've done 9 extras throughout 8. Our career. 8 extras throughout our career.
Yeah, right.
And this is episode 254, and our guest
will be defined.
Question mark.
We'll get to that in a bit. So is anything else to say at the beginning?
No.
So as I was going to say, we live in a mostly undeveloped development. It was one of those which took a hit badly in the 2008-2009 timeframe. And there's some gentle hills around us and some distant mountains around us. So we have peace and quiet. We also have occasional elk in our neighborhood. Elk are like deer with, bigger than deer, with antlers if they're male. And we also have, what else do we have for wildlife? We do have some deer.
Did you say javelina?
No, I don't think anybody would, well, most everybody would not know what javelina. If you can imagine the ugliest pig you've ever seen in your life.
That's sort of what they look like. They're yeah, not they really do. Pigs. But
no, but gosh, did they ever. You remember the first time we saw javelina?
Yes.
Oh, we're my like, heaven.
What is that?
Yeah, I know, exactly. All right, well, maybe we should put a picture of javelina on our page, Facebook page, do you think?
Nobody'd ever come back to Catholic Vitamins again.
Well, maybe not for the cover of the show, but maybe on if you'll remind
well, if we,
me.
Yeah, if we can find a picture, I'll try to do that.
All right. So about our guest situation, because this is an extra show, I'm hoping to record my homily for this weekend at our parish, and it's about the beginning of Advent. It's going to be a challenging one, Dee, sometimes you tell me.
Yours are always challenging,
thank
pretty
you
much. Much.
Thank you, thank you. And we also have a great teaching, once again, from dear Sonia, our evangelista from Tennessee. Pursuingthesummit.com. You should take a look at her site, see all of the resources that she has there.
Wonderful stuff.
And to see about booking Sonia for your parish or your women's group or whatever.
You'd never know she was from Tennessee, would you?
I'm not going to go any further because I want to stay on her good side. But we love Sonia, and we'll see if we can round up one or more additional correspondents. But I know they're all busy this weekend with the long holiday weekend.
Yes. So since we're talking about holiday weekend, shall we tell them how we had a wonderful Thanksgiving Day dinner?
Oh, we did. We were invited up to Pine once again to be with our friends.
Candy and Jim and all their extended family and friends.
Oh, my heavens.
I think there was only over 30 there.
I know. There were met many people. I just came up to and I said, "Hi, I'm Tom Fox." "Well, I met you last year." "Well, yeah." But we had a wonderful dinner. Two regularly baked turkeys and one smoked turkey that Jim did. And he's becoming a master chef. I don't know if we ever want to invite either of them over to our house to eat again because they're getting too good. Yeah, they fix such wonderful food.
I mean, she's such a great cook and she makes such great meals for their retreat guests.
Let's just see if we can give an indication of what we had. So there was the two kinds of turkey that I've already mentioned. There was stuffing, of course, which was very wonderful, and candies.
Stuffing, mashed potatoes, gravy.
Candy's daughter.
Sweet potatoes with marshmallows on top.
Yeah, Casey. I like them. Casey did those. They were wonderful.
Although she says she puts orange juice in her, in with hers. I don't usually do that. But they were made similarly to the way I make them.
Did you say baked ham?
There was baked ham, that's right. Brussels sprouts. With some craisins and stuff in with them. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Brussels sprout fan, but I took some because I know that sometimes the way certain people fix them, they can be good.
They were wonderful. Right.
What else? Lasagna?
Yes, as if we needed anything.
Well, there were some Italians in the bunch, so you have to have lasagna. Oh, gosh, I don't know. There was that pink, fluffy sort of dessert thing, pudding thing.
Let's leave that for just a moment.
Good breads, which we provided.
Yeah.
You made some homemade bread.
Let's leave that area and then talk about desserts. There was a spread of desserts.
Candy has one of her relatives makes most of the desserts every year. She had such a wide variety of stuff. Although, somebody said, "Where's the pumpkin pie?" There was no pumpkin pie.
Oh, gosh.
There was a delicious pecan pie.
It was wonderful.
And I'm not a pecan pie lover either, but I really liked it.
I think I asked that lady if she'd come live with us.
She remembered you saying that last year or the year before.
Yeah. Well, that's segment one. We now have you stirred up, your taste buds stirred up from all of our talk about food.
Oh, I wanted to add. Mm-hmm. It was an absolutely gorgeous weather day.
It was
so nice and warm and mild in central Arizona that half of the group were sitting out on the patio eating. It was so nice.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very good point. And for our dear people, most of whom probably will never hear this, who are back east, who suffered through flight delays or canceled flights or who lost power, you know, all we can do is remember to try to pray for you and hope that you recovered from whatever circumstances you were faced with. And
we both grew up back in those parts, and so we remember what can happen.
All right, can we do our break now, dear?
Sure.
We'll be back. We are back from our first break, and Dee, did I have any trouble pulling you out of the kitchen making Christmas candies?
I haven't started yet.
Oh, no. Well, Dee, we promised three of our listeners that we would pull names
As soon as I walk away from this computer, I am going downstairs and start doing some. I would like to get a few made to take back for my mom.
Oh, that'd be nice.
I'm going to visit her next week.
Why don't we talk about that? You're going to be in Pennsylvania for...
Right, after we had just talked about the bad weather back there. We're hoping that all has passed through by the time I fly back so that I don't run into any tough stuff or get flights delayed or have bad stuff to drive in.
Yeah, cold weather by itself probably wouldn't bother you too much, but... No.
I think I better pack my boots just in case.
Really? These boots are made for...
tromping.
All right, well, we will pray that you be safe in your travels, but...
Back to the candy giveaway.
Yes.
Tom opened his big mouth again. No, that wasn't nice. Anyhow, we are going to have...
The Reverend Mr. Deacon Tom Fox opened his big mouth. Okay, go ahead.
We are going to have a Dee's Candy giveaway. We're going to draw three names on about, December 15th, 16th, that weekend. So you have, after this episode airs, you'll have two full weeks yet to send your name in if you would like your name put in the drawing.
CatholicVitamins@gmail.com and just... as the subject, put these candies.
So we had a couple requests come in this week. One, listen to this. Drool, pregnant lady in Ohio, unable not to enter the giveaway. Disclaimer, sent from a mobile device under the influence of distraction. Please forgive silly errors. That can only be from Sarah Reinhardt.
Oh my goodness. What a dear lady.
Your name is in there, Sarah.
You know, she has put out a couple... emails, which have been a little bit on the testy side. I think
her hormones are acting up. She's pregnant after all.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
So we also had one from Dan Schlattman. He said, add my name to the candy shipment. I hope I'm one of the chosen 33. That 33 relates to you joking around about 33. We are not drawing 33 names, only three. And then Holly in California says, could I have the recipe as well as being in the candy drawing?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if we can do that. We'll have to think about that.
We'll think about that.
Thanks for sending in your name. And glad that you are a listener to Catholic Vitamins. Speaking of a listener, we have a couple, Chuck and Mary Lou, who are in Colorado. Hi, and happy Thanksgiving. We are enjoying the podcast and thankful to you both. Meaning us. But she said, Sonia is so beautifully passionate, and we look forward to future tabernacle themes from her and the insightful tie-ins to the Old Testament. As it happens, worship was the theme of the children's mass today. She's referring
to the last vitamin.
Right. More than coincidence, I'm sure, missing you both. And then she talked about their kids who are up in New York visiting old friends with their baby Grace. Keep them in prayer, please, as they travel with the baby. Well, I hope that their travel is ending safely as they return from New York as we start this podcast. And Chuck and Mary Lou, it is so good to hear from you. We love you, and maybe we'll get up to Colorado after the snow melts.
I hope. Well, maybe we'll even come during the snow. Who knows?
Anything else before we bring up Sonia?
No, let's hear her.
We will be back.
This is your weekly Bible supplement on Catholic Vitamins with scriptural evangelist Sonia Corbett.
We're going to continue now talking about this Old Testament tabernacle. We know that God met them at the mountain. The people were at the foot of the mountain, and Moses went up to the top of the mountain. And God took some offerings from the people, and they were to make the facilities that were inside this tabernacle with these offerings. So he used their offerings to make this worship home for himself and them, actually. The tabernacle, it was the place where God would live with his people, and its actual existence expressed that desire to do so. In fact, the word tabernacle literally means to dwell. So he was tabernacling with them. That's the same sense of the word in which we use it in our Catholic parish, the tabernacle there. Christ is in there. He's dwelling with us. It's the same sense in which we personally, our bodies, are a tabernacle of God, St. Paul says. It's the same sense in which the church collectively is the tabernacle of God. It's just the whole word it's humongous, actually. But in this sense, in the Old Testament, this was the first time God expressed this desire to dwell with his people. And that's the reason why in Old Testament Judaism and throughout the Old Testament, the tabernacle was, it became the outward symbol and even the manifestation of God's desire to be surrounded by his people, to be present with them and to live among them as the soul of their existence. And that's why it's called the soul of the world. And that's why this session is called Soul of the World, because God as the Spirit was the soul of all of the people together. He was the one who kept them alive and breathing, both in a spiritual sense, but also in a literal sense. Technically and literally, the tabernacle was a tent, sort of, and it was a portable place of worship for the nomadic Israelites. And they lived directly outside its boundaries, and they surrounded it by tribe on all sides. There were 12 tribes of Israel, and they surrounded this tabernacle. It was a The way God situated them, it was just a perfect picture of design and order in what seemed like this chaotic wandering in the wilderness of these millions of people. And so he placed each tribe in a specific position around that tabernacle. You see that in Numbers chapter 2. And the camp was divided quadrilaterally. So there were four sets of three tribes at each of the compass points, and then one flag for each of them. The scriptures sometimes call those flags a standard. But each tribe had a standard or a flag, so it was like an identification. These four sets of triads, they camped facing the tabernacle so that they lived facing the presence of God, and actually within which the presence of God rested. Because in the center of that sanctuary, in that tabernacle, the literal tabernacle, God's presence actually rested on that ark. His presence was literal, and the people actually saw it in this pillar of cloud. There was a pillar of cloud in the afternoons and daytime, and then that pillar turned into a pillar of fire at night, so the people could constantly see God's presence with them in this structure, this tent kind of structure. And remember that it was portable. And this organization that God did with these people, it kind of gave them a sense of peace and even anticipation in their relationship to God who dwelt there. And as I said, that presence was literal. So they, like we in the Eucharist, they literally knew he was present with them. They had that visual sight of him, so they knew he was there. Sometimes in the scriptures, the term tabernacle actually indicates the entire temple area, which would include all of the people and the tribes, and then the actual tabernacle itself. But then other times, the word tabernacle is used to indicate just the tent sanctuary part. And it was laid out it was like a rectangle within a rectangle. And through this literal tabernacle structure, it was a worship structure, God taught a people that was accustomed to Egyptian paganism how to worship the one true God properly. And that's very important. It's kind of an extra here. We're going to talk about the extra parts of the tabernacle here as we go along. But it's really important to realize, as we said in the last session, that he was teaching them how to worship. And if you remember your Eastern and early civilization in school, you know that the Egyptians worshipped everything. The Pharaoh, the Nile, the frogs, the cats. I mean, everything was part of their worship, the sun. And so God was trying to teach his people, who had been enslaved in Egypt for hundreds of years, how to worship him properly. And he gave them an altar and a tent, but it wasn't fixed to one spot because they weren't capable yet of actually understanding God properly as one who did not live in an actual temple made with hands. So he gave them a tent and an altar, but it wasn't fixed to one spot. So its removal from place to place in the nomadic life of the Israelites, it gave them this persistent education that led them away from polytheism into monotheism to worship God properly and him alone. So it included also, like I said, some extra facilities that we're going to explore in detail throughout the coming sessions. And they are so fascinating. You have the altar of burnt offering. As you walk into the structure of the tabernacle proper, there's this humongous altar, and it's like a grill. We'll talk about that in the coming weeks. But this huge grill, and then there's a like a bird bath called a laver. And at that laver, you know, the word lavatory, it just means to wash. So that was where the priests washed. No one was allowed in this tabernacle except for the priests. And we'll talk about that next week, actually. But then as you walk into the sanctuary, the second inner rectangle, you have to go through a curtain or a veil. It was very, very thick. And then you go inside that veil, and on the right, you have this beautiful golden lampstand, the menorah. But it was huge. It was several feet tall. And we'll talk about all the extra details of that in the coming weeks, too. And then on the right side of that sanctuary was this table called the Table of Presence Bread. Absolutely gives me the shivers, because it's not actually called that. We'll talk about it when we get to it, but it's not actually called that in some versions. In my non-Catholic Bible, it was always called the Table of Showbread, or the Bread of Propitiation, but never the Presence Bread. And we'll talk about why that is when we get to it. But just as an overview, remember we had the altar, the big altar, and then the laver. Then you go inside the curtain. On the left is the menorah or the lampstand, and on the right is the Table of Presence Bread. And directly in front is a smaller altar for incense, for burning the incense inside the sanctuary. And then directly behind that was another veil, very, very thick embroidered veil, that divided this inner rectangle into two sections, the sanctuary and the inner sanctuary, or the Holy of Holies. And inside that Holy of Holies, it was very dark and it was secluded. There was nothing in there except one item, and it was the Ark of the Covenant. If you've ever seen Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, or maybe, it was the Raiders of the Lost Ark, sorry. If you've seen that movie, then you know kind of what I'm talking about. And I wish I could show you pictures, but just suffice it to say, when we get there, I'll describe it in great detail and give you all the extras on it. But at this point, I just want to give you kind of a picture in your head of what this was like. So remember, you have all the tribes of Israel surrounding this outer rectangle, which was sort of like a fence. It was just this big rectangular fence that protected the inner rectangle and the altar and the laver from encroachment or desecration even. And then the inner sanctuary, or the sanctuary with the holy place and the Holy of Holies. So in essence, that inner rectangle was divided into two rectangles. So you have the sanctuary and then the inner sanctuary, or the holy place and the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holy Places, the holiest of all holy places. That's how the Bible expresses the superlative, Holy of Holies, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So you know that this is the most holy place that exists on the face of the earth. So in the Old Testament, this tabernacle was the visible symbol and the reality of God's presence with his people. And in the book of Hebrews, we find the historical Jewish association with the tabernacle. They associated this tabernacle with even the cosmos, where God builds a home. And so he talks about this tabernacle as a home to dwell with his people, in the same way that he talks about the cosmos as being built to house his presence. So like I said, this is a loaded term, but we're gonna break down all of these terms, I promise, in the coming times together. And I cannot wait to show you, because you're not gonna believe it. It's gonna make your worship experience so much more full, I promise. You just won't even believe how detailed and careful God is in his desire to be near you and with you personally. The other important thing that Hebrews says, and this really applies to us, because it says in the book of Hebrews in chapter 8, verse 5, that this tabernacle was actually a copy of the tabernacle that exists in heaven eternally right now. And so this is why it's important to us as Catholics, because our worship is modeled on Jewish worship. Jewish worship was modeled on the heavenly tabernacle. So in essence, we are all worshiping in a similar way. Judaism, Catholicism, and then what's going on in heaven right now. We get a really clear picture of that in the book of Revelation, and we'll talk about that too later. I'm just trying to give you a nice big overview of what we're talking about. And we're going to have a couple more sessions on that in the next hour, and we'll break some of that down for you a little more. But it's really, really important that we know that it says, the sanctuary and tent serve as a copy and shadow of the heavenly sanctuary. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, see that you make everything according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain.
Well, Sonia did like a whole course of teaching about the Old Testament and the tabernacle, and I think she's going to continue to expand on this. There was a lot to take in this sharing that she did, but it's good to have her with us.
Do we have to pay for all this knowledge?
I don't think so, but it's like an online course we're taking with Sonia.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah, it is. It is. And dear, we played some music a bit ago. Do you remember Lori Lyne?
Of course I do.
She was a guest. I meant to look up what show it was, but maybe two winters ago, we went to Denver, and I was able to interview Lori Lyne, and we played some music then from her album, Emmanuel. You can find Lori's music at www.lorielyne.com. And I took a check to find out where she's touring this. You know, she always does the December.
Right. Right.
And she's going to be in Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, North Dakota, Colorado.
Can we go back up?
No, we can't.
Oh, darn.
South Dakota, Nebraska. So if you like Lori Lyne's music, and if you don't, hello.
We've been fortunate to be able to see two of her concerts in person.
They were wonderful, weren't they?
Both of them in Colorado. First one when we lived there, and then the second one we traveled from Arizona up to Colorado to see it. Yes, it's wonderful. We first discovered her when we lived in Florida. Remember, I was watching a PBS
special. I do remember that.
And they were featuring Lori Lyne's music as their fundraiser that year.
Yeah, and we've bought several of her albums since then, and we've contributed to her to her concerts. When she does a Christmas concert, it is a really joyous event. You remember?
It's family friendly.
Very, very family friendly. You remember that people had the bells, and there were times when we would all participate in her music. And there was a lot of stage.
Yes.
It was just wonderful, just absolutely wonderful.
I dug out our bell from the first concert we had gone to. We took it along to the second concert.
Oh, did you? All right. So LoriLyne.com. Thank you, Lori, for being a guest on Catholic Vitamins a couple of years ago. Maybe we could get her back sometime.
That would be nice. That would be nice. I forget what I was going to say. All of a sudden, my mind just went blank.
Well, we were talking before we came back on about my homily.
That's it. That was it. Yes, you said that you did record it this weekend. This is the first Sunday of Advent that we're talking about, and you recorded your homily, and you said that we may end up including it with this show.
We'll see how our timing is on this show, because we're blessed. We're really, really blessed to have Marietta definitely connect with us this show, and we also have Fergal.
Fergal, yay!
Deacon Fergal O'Neill, all the way from Naas, Ireland. So why don't we take a break now, and we'll listen to Fergal's contribution for the first week in Advent.
In the north part of Donegal, 4 miles out from the small village of Pettico, lies St. Patrick's Purgatory, a little island where, according to legend, Christ showed St. Patrick a cave, sometimes referred to as a pit or a well, on the Station Island that was an entrance to Purgatory. Down through history, some say from as early as 1185, the island has become a very important place of pilgrimage, especially for those seeking healing and peace of the spiritual kind. Having been there 2 times only in my short 43 years, one part of the pilgrimage stands out way above any of the other facets. The first night vigil, where the pilgrim penitents are asked as part of their penance to deprive themselves of sleep for the entire night. Now, on paper, it might sound like an easy option, but unless one has been there in the cold marble basilica with the island breezes blowing through the open doors, one cannot fathom how difficult it really is. The phrase, "Stay awake and watch with me," is what is repeated in word and melody during the night. Of course, you always have that fellow pilgrim who is only too willing to stick a bottle of ammonia-based smelling salts under your nose when you happen to catch a drift of a few winks. The effort to stay awake is a real battle which encroaches on every facet of the individual. The simple action of keeping one's eyes open and focused becomes a seriously difficult battle. The night seems endless until at once one notices the retreat of the darkness of night and the dawn begins to break. We from somewhere then get a new energy, for the night has passed and the day is at hand. Is not what I have just described synonymous with the Christian life, especially now at this time of Advent? Today in the Holy Gospel, we hear the call to stay awake, for we do not know the time when the Son of Man will return. Of course, Advent is not a time of preparation for the coming of a child as a babe, but a time to remember and to give thanks for that event, which has already happened in history. Advent, of course, is a time of preparation for the second coming of Jesus Christ in glory. We are reminded of that fact in the Acts of the Apostles when we read, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This Jesus that you have seen going into heaven will come back in the same way as you have seen him go to heaven." And we as Christian pilgrims need to remember that. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. If Christ were to come today, how would he find you? Have you drifted off on the crest of an empty promise of the world? Or do you find yourself in the valley of tears? Has the mystery of the resurrection been sidelined in favour of melancholy and doubt? Are you questioning the circle of routine and telling yourself that there has to be more? For of course there is more. It is Christ. But we must stay awake and focus and prepare. In fact, we must do battle to stay awake. For, as I have just described in the physical realm, it's not an easy thing to do. Spiritual preparation, as much as physical preparation, involves sacrifice and training. Things have to change, especially things in our life that may be at variance with the Christian message or our Christian calling to be children of God. Perhaps this Advent we might identify those things, call them by name, and hang them up once and for all. Let us indeed do serious battle to stay awake, so that when the Lord comes in glory, surrounded and escorted by the angels, he will find you with your lamp lit, ready to go out and meet him with all the saints in the heavenly kingdom.
Gosh, it's so wonderful to have Deacon Fergal back on the show all the way from Ireland. We know because of his busyness that this is a special gift. Nice to hear from him. And Dee, I went on his parish website over in Ireland And I listened to the first of his reflections, which are recorded and now are available on the parish website. Isn't that awesome?
That's great.
It really, really is. I don't want to take too much credit. He's doing Catholic Vitamins online over there on his parish website. Dear friends, if you like Fergal O'Neill, and many of you have told us that you do, his parish website is
www.naasparish.ie, and that's NAAS parish.ie.
And on the front page, you can find a reference to Deacon Fergal O'Neill's first Advent reflection. Click on that and you can listen to it. It's about 4 minutes long. He did a great job. He really did.
I think you mentioned to him that we would love to get a longer email from him or have some time to be able to talk to him to find out how his first year of being a deacon has gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know he's been swamped.
Oh, I know he's been busy, yes.
Yeah, for sure. Well, dear, you sort of have the Advent spirit. You came and got me to fill a pix after the 9 o'clock Mass, and you said you were taking communion too.
One of our daily Mass goers has had a second surgery on her foot, and it's got her laid up again. She's going to be laid up for quite a while. So, and for first couple of weeks, she can do nothing but just lay in bed.
Oh my!
Yeah, and only can get up to go to the bathroom. So I took communion to her, and I'm going to try to do it again tomorrow.
Very good. True Advent spirit. The three things that I preached about three times, three different Masses, were prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And in a way, taking the communion is...
Considered almsgiving?
Well, it is a form
of
fast.
Or a prayer.
Well, yes, it is. Yes, but it's also fasting because you are giving up the freedom of the things that you would like to do for yourself, the comfort for yourself, and you take the time to...
I think it fits into all three categories.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. Well, next up, we are also blessed. I use those words often, but I really mean it. We're blessed to have a repeat contribution on Advent from Mariana and her husband, and this is also them playing music for it. So this is a Advent reflection from the Bartholomews.
Keep silence this Advent. Let all mortal flesh keep silence is a 4th century chant of Eucharistic devotion popularized by composer Ralph Vaughan Williams, who set the stanzas to the French tune Picardy in 1906. The verses describe God descending to earth with blessing in his hand as he gives his own self for heavenly food. Let all the earth keep silence before him, urges the book of Habakkuk 2:20, the scripture from which the chant is based. Do we seek silence? That still disposition of preparing to receive our heavenly food should resonate through our days. Under the frenetic onslaught of modern life, souls crave silence. Silence punctuated by winds rustling, fire crackling, pages turning, or a gentle conversation. Silence stirred by heartbeats and contemplation. A silence sipped like fine wine because it is so rare in our world. Just as important as developing a love of fine music is learning to appreciate silence, cultivating a listening silence in our hearts that extends beyond church and Eucharistic adoration will help us hear God's whispers each moment. Even amidst children crying, phones ringing, the mad race of traffic, and the day's pressing demands, we can capture a breath of silence, casting our heart and mind heavenward. Pockets of silence sought amidst the din sanctify our day. Enter into the mysteries of Advent peace and Christmas joy. Move beyond busyness. To make Advent more than a commercial or culinary adventure, seek silence. Silent joy. In silence, we welcome you, newborn babe. We tremble with joy in your presence. We adore you. We marvel that God's greatness is hidden in such a fragile child, a newborn shivering in the manger. We listen and hear your feeble cry. Our hearts meet yours. We draw softly closer. In tender reverence, we bow our heads, knowing the sacrifice your life will bring. Even now, a shadow falls upon you, only a crossbeam from the stable roof. But now, may we think only of joy. May we welcome you in trembling joy. In silence first, our souls speak your language. We prepare carefully to meet you, newborn king. Any attraction we have for the wayward path, we lay aside now. May we join in your journey toward heaven? Soon we will raise our voices in prayer and sacred song. In the Eucharist, in body, blood, soul, and divinity, you are born anew each day. But now we reflect, we rejoice. In silence we are deeply moved. Angels hover. Creation trembles with your coming. Little Lord Jesus, we love you. We embrace you in silence. Please be born into our hearts and be beloved to us forever. By Mariana Bartholomew, written Christmas Day, 2005.
Rank on rank the host of heaven spreads its vanguard on the way. As the light of light descendeth from the realms of endless day, that the powers of hell may vanish as the darkness clears away. At his feet the six-winged seraph, cherubim with sleepless eye, veil their faces to the presence as with ceaseless voice they cry, Alleluia, 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 Lord Most High.
Once again, our special thanks to journalist Mariana Bartholomew and her husband.
Award-winning journalist.
Yes, seven-time award-winning. What a gift she has been to Catholic Vitamins for how long, Dee?
She was surprised, she said, to look back and think that she's been with us for 3 years.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
Considering that her pay hasn't changed since she first joined us.
Yeah, none of their pays have. I don't know how they can continue staying with us, but we're so happy they do.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to do a short reflection on praying with Jesus in the womb. I found this on the Creighton University Online Ministries website. And just a thought to share with our listeners this first week in Advent. From the moment that by the power of the Holy Spirit, the life of Jesus began in Mary's womb, Jesus became one with us. He didn't magically appear as an adult. He began his life journey as a tiny bundle of cells. We can imagine those cells multiplying so quickly day by day and week by week, silently, imperceptibly. But this human life was already God made one with us. No one could imagine God could be human. And now we can imagine our God coming among us in this developing new life, so small, so dependent, so powerless. We can feel the gratitude welling up within us as we contemplate the unseen journey of Jesus being knit in his mother's womb. Those closing words were from Psalm 139, one of my favorite psalms, dear. So what do you say we start our wrap-up?
I do. I've got a bite of Scrabble clue here for next time. Catholic vitamin Y ends in A. Five letters.
All right. Now, I'm going to have to give a little bit of a hint on this, because what I'd like you to do, dear friends, is think about the Catholic faith is grafted onto the Jewish faith. The Catholic faith is grafted onto the Jewish faith. And in that context, think of vitamin Y.
You're giving it away.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Ending in A. Dear, do we have anything else we need to do?
Well, we need to tell them that they need to take a guess, send it to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. Also, as we mentioned early in the show, the candy making
has begun.
Has begun. Just since the beginning of the show, it has begun.
We have pictures.
I posted pictures on Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page.
So. Did you do it on Friends or on your own personal?
I did it on Friends.
Okay. All right.
So that anybody there who's a listener would know what I was talking about. So if you need to, if you want to take a chance at getting some of my special little Christmas candies, just send in an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com and just put these candies in the subject line and we'll know what you want.
I think I've decided, Dee, that we're not going to do by homily in this show. If I get time and am able, I've got a meeting with the bishop this week, as you know, and I've got a trip to our mission church to do a communion service. But a little bit later, if I get a chance, I'll post the homily that I did this weekend and you can listen to it from Pennsylvania.
I can. Oh, and speaking of that, I may not be with you on the podcast next weekend.
Unless you
call me. Maybe if you call me, I could talk a little bit on the phone.
All right. Well, that'll be for Catholic Vitamin Y, and we'll look forward to you and our listeners being with us next week. Dee, any final words?
Just to have for everyone to have a blessed Advent.
We'll pray for safe travels for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Bye.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.
This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.